But in the book of Numbers, chapter number 32, verse number 4 and 5, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. Bring us not over Jordan. And then in the book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 11, one verse of scripture. Mark chapter 5 and verse 11 says, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Amen. Would you ask the Lord to help us in this service this morning? Precious God of heaven, we come before you one more time asking you, Lord, for you to anoint us and the word today. I feel a burden on my heart for this service today and for this congregation. And I pray let the Holy Ghost speak to us in a great way. Anoint us. Let our words be seasoned with thy anointing. Give us a good altar service this morning. Save the lost. Bring those, God, home. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach, if the Lord would help us this morning, on how far are you from home? How far are you from home? Amen. You know, homecoming is a time where we gather together from different places that we have went to. But most everybody has some connection with the church. Maybe you got saved here. Maybe right after you got saved, you got established here. Maybe it was that your family attended here or attends here. There's some type of connection that brings you to homecoming. Amen. And when we think about going home and the homecomings, our mind, of course, often goes to reminiscing. We think about those times gone by. Those services where the Lord moved on you and on others and how you've seen God do great and mighty things. It's a time that we look back and we remember and we reminisce and we bring to remembrance those things that was precious in our minds. Good memories. Can you say amen? Amen. Good memories. I remember the old church before the Lord blessed it with this beautiful facility. And many of you may got your start there. But it doesn't matter where the building was, but it matters that you got your start. Amen. Your beginning. And there was a time that you started for the Lord. In our text, we read here where the Bible said that the children of Israel was about to enter into Canaan land. This was to be their homeland, if you would. It would be a place where that for generations after would be promised to the children of Israel. And when God had brought them to this place, the Lord said in our text that He spoke to the man of God that they were to cross over and enter in. But in the middle of all of this rose the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben. And the Bible said that their words, and I read to you, even the country which the Lord smote. So they're looking at a country that the Lord is against, that the Lord has smote, that the Lord has put vengeance upon for their sake. He has defeated their enemies. He has made their crops fail. He has sent pestilence before them. He has done many things to show that God was for Israel and against the enemy. Amen. And here they come to the verge of the of Canaan land, to the Jordan River. And they're about to cross over. And the children of Gad rise up and say that wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. Bring us not over Jordan. So all of a sudden, the tribe of Gad rises up. And we see that through on in the scriptures that he said, thus did your fathers when I sent them to Kadesh Barnea to see the land. The same spirit that has worked in your fathers that made you wander in the wilderness for 40 years is working in you, their children. And said, this thing cannot be done, for it will dishearten the people. Their hearts will begin to fail them. They will not, amen, be ready to go over unless we are all in agreement. It's amazing that when they came to this place some 40 years before, they sent out spies to see the land. You know, when God deals with you about something and God talks to your heart, sometimes the worst thing you can do is just begin to think about it, begin to evaluate it, begin to reason it out. For you see, when God speaks, all the reasoning in the world will not change the voice of God. And God told them to enter in that land some 40 years previous. But when they begin to take matters in their own hands, and they sent out spies to see the land, they came back with evil reports. The vote was 10 against and 2 for. Joshua and Caleb said, "We are well able to take the land." Amen. Help me a little while. "We're well able to enter in." But the other 10, from the representatives of the other 10 tribes, said, "We are like grasshoppers." Amen. "In their eyes, so we are in ours. We cannot. We will be destroyed. We will be conquered." Amen. So 40 years later, amen, they're on the same page. They're in the same place. They're close to the same victory. You know the good thing about God, amen, is that you may have 40 years ago prayed. You may have 40 years ago had your beginning. And from that time to this, there might have been much wandering in your spirit. You have never really been established. You've never really been settled. You've never really been anything for God. But God loves you so much, till 40 years later, He'll bring you back to the same place and give you the same options and say, "Now, if you'll go across now, I will bless you. If you'll go forward now, I will help you." Help me while I preach. Amen. 40 years is a long time. Amen. All the forefathers had dropped in the wilderness and died. Only Joshua and Caleb is now alive. Amen. Leading this great multitude of people. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, Gad rises up and says, "Let us dwell here. For the land is a land that is good for cattle. And we have much cattle. We will go with you. We will go over the Jordan. And we will help you get your inheritance. We will not fight against you. We will not weaken the hands or hearts of the people. We will help you get established. And then after you get established and you get set up in your land, your inheritance is given out, then we'll go back on the other side of the river and there we will dwell. But we'll serve the same God. We'll worship in the same place. Amen. But just let us go this route." Help me while I preach a little while. How far are you from home? You see, it was ordained in the beginning that every year they had a homecoming. They would come from every tribe, and they would go to Shiloh. And there at Shiloh, the Lord would visit them. Many of them came from a few miles. Many of them came from many miles. But they looked forward to it all year long. They prepared for the trip, and they prepared for the journey. And they got ready to make that journey to go to Shiloh, that homecoming. But you see, when you're on the other side of the river and you're further away from home than you should be, then the journey gets harder and harder and harder to make. And so every year when they begin to make those journeys, and the children of Gad, their attitude was, amen, "We will not be changed nor affected." Their attitude was, amen, "We will be the same. We'll worship the same God. We'll live the same way. But we're just going to be on the other side of the river." But I'm preaching to you this morning on how far are you from home? That place that you were when the Lord saved you. That place you were when the Lord first dealt with your heart and called you out of sin. When He established convictions in your life and dealt with you. How far are you from that now? Amen. Oh, yes, many people can rise up and say, "Amen, oh, I serve the same God. Amen, I still go to church. Amen, I still live for the Lord." But I want to ask you, how far are you really away from that place that you used to be in God? How far are you from home? How long has it been since you felt the power of God?
amen, move on you like it used to? How long has it been since you got lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Come on now. Amen. These people at Gap, they begin to say, amen, we'll worship God. And in time, they even tried to set up shrines and temples on the wrong side of the river. Why? It's too far to travel to go all the way to Shiloh. Maybe where you're at this morning, you may have left the holiness way. You may have went back, amen, from the holiness preaching and said, we're still going to love God and worship God. But it's just too far for us to go. It's a little bit more than we want to invest. Amen. And so you come up with a halfway place. You'll come up with a place where you can worship God like you want to worship God. And live for God like you want to live for God. But I asked you, where is His presence in your life? How long has it been since the glory of the Lord has fell on you and touched your life? Is there not a long? Is there not a desire? Is there not something down inside of you saying, oh, to go back home? Oh, to feel His glory again? Oh, to feel His power again?
You see, when we think of a backslider, we often think of someone that is back on the bottle, that is back down in the pit, that is far away from God, and that can be the end results of backsliding. But when you begin the process of backsliding, you don't go from the church pew to the bar stool in just a few minutes. But it is a process that you go further and further away from home. And all of a sudden, things that used to convict you no longer convict you. Things that used to stir your heart no longer stir your heart. Songs that used to bring tears to your eyes no longer make you weep. Amen. What are you doing? You say, I'm just going through a drought right now. I'm still saved. I'm still living for God. Amen. You may be, but oh, wouldn't it be good to come back to a dedicated life, to come back to a consecrated life. There were a few, if you read through history, that left the inheritance of Gad that was dealt to them, and they sojourned over the other side of the river, and they live closer, and they live, come on here now, cleaner and better. Why? They wanted God in their life. Amen. And so, amen, the process began, and they dwelt on the wrong side of the river. Everything is starting to calm down, and the tribes of their lands is divided, and they have their inheritance. And the yearly celebration at Shiloh is instituted. And everything begins to go in motion. But if you read, you'll see where the children of Gad begin that process of going further and further away from home. No, their foot never moved many miles more. Amen. But in their spirit and in their worship and in their consecration to God. Amen. I want to ask you, do you still hold the truths in your heart that you did when you prayed? All of a sudden, you see, when you are around people in a far country, they begin to affect you. Amen. They begin to affect your actions, your speech, your attitude. They affect everything around you. And so when they were here among all of these men, among all of these women that were heathens, that were not saved, that worshiped false gods and false idols, all of a sudden it began to affect their speech. All of a sudden, amen, it began to affect the guard that they would place on their mouth. It began to affect the way that they dressed. Amen. How far are you from home? Are you wearing things that at one time you would not wear? Are you talking in ways at one time that you would not let that manner of conversation come from your lips? Come on now. Amen. Their attitude toward the commandments of God began to change. No longer did they see them as essential. No longer did they see them as black and white. But all of a sudden they begin to think, amen, you know, well, maybe God did not mean what He said. And maybe, amen, things will be different. But I want to tell you, the proof of it all is, where is the Spirit of God in your life? If you cannot feel the Holy Ghost and you cannot feel the power of God, it's time to say, let me go back home. Let me go back to that place where the Spirit of the Lord again moves in my life. You don't realize how much it has affected you.
It's not affecting me, preacher. I still go to church. I still sing in the choir. I still am involved in all those things. I treat people right. I live right. But you don't realize how much that sin affects you, being around it. Amen. One time there was an individual left our church, and they got tired of the restraints. Amen. You know why the prodigal son left the father's house? Because he did not like the restraints. He did not like the fences that had been built. Amen. But you see, fences are built for two purposes. They're not just built to keep you in, but they're also built to keep things out. Help me a little bit. Amen. I mean, if I was put over in the middle of Africa, in the middle of a plain, and there was all type of wild animals roaming through there day and night, and they would, what I would want would be about a 15 or 20 foot high fence around where I had to stay. Amen. And somebody would say, well, you're not going to be able to get out. That's right, but can't nothing get in either. Amen. Come on here now. But you see, when that longing in your heart is to get out, you expose yourself to the elements that's on the outside. And so they wanted to get out. They wanted to get free. They wanted to get away. And the children of Gad began to let down their fences and their gates. And all of a sudden, the things that at one time was wrong, the things that at one time they had convictions against, it just didn't seem that bad. In the book of Leviticus, chapter number 11, reading a verse of Scripture, Leviticus 11 and verse 7, speaking of the unclean animals and swine, though he devour the hoof and be clove-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. This is speaking, of course, of the Levitical law to the Jews, that they were forbidden to eat pork. They were forbidden. It was an unclean animal. But yet you see the children of Gad begin to get further and further away from home. And all of a sudden the things that at one time was forbidden was not so bad. Help me while I preach. And then in Mark chapter 5, we read to you where Jesus sets His foot down on the sea shore of the Gadareans, the descendants of Gad. If you look over on your map, you'll see that He actually went across the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the Jordan where it feeds into the mouth of the sea, and there was Gad. There was those descendants that said, we're going to dwell here. We're going to live here. We're still going to serve God. We're still going to live for God. We're all going to end up in the same place in the end. We're all doing the same. Come on here now. But you see, the commandment was that the swine was an unclean animal. But when Jesus sets foot on the shore, what does He find? For the Bible said that there was a great herd of swine feeding. Who did they belong to? Where did they come from? How did they get there? Amen. Through years of neglect, through years of compromise, through years of backing away saying, this is not required, this is not essential. Listen, you might have got saved here 40 years ago. Amen. And you loved holiness. And you backed the preaching of the Word. But now through the years, you drifted further and further away. And every year something else is okay. And every week something else is alright. You backed up for your children. You backed up for your friends. You backed up for your neighbors. And everything okay. I want to ask you, when are you going to realize that you're a long ways from home, from where you used to be? And when Jesus came in Mark chapter 5 and He stepped foot there, He came over on the other side and He went out immediately, and there met Him a man with an unclean spirit out of the tombs. Amen. Now here is a group of people, the Galileans, that are to be Israelites by descent. Amen. They're to be children of God by descent. They have made their boast that we're just as close to God on this side of the river as you are over there. Amen. We've got as much as you've got. Oh, I wish I could preach to you like I'm feeling right now. Amen. We're just as close as you are. But somehow there is a man possessed in the tombs. Amen. He has stripped off all of his clothes. He torments the people. They're afraid of him. They tried to take matters in their own hands. And they took chains and they bind him up. But he bust them asunder. Amen. But the Bible said in the New Testament, amen, Jesus said, I will give you power over unclean spirits. Amen. That you can cast them out. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Amen. When you get a long ways from home, amen, you cannot have the power you used to have. Amen. Used to be little Johnny'd say, Daddy, pray for me. I'm sick. I got a fever. Dad, pray. Mama, pray. And you lay your hand on them. And you feel the power of God. Amen. Heal them. You feel, amen, that fever as it left. Amen. But now, amen, they say, Daddy, pray for me. Mama, pray for me. But you're so far from home. You have no confidence in your prayer. You have no confidence in your experience with God. Help me while I preach. Amen. And so they come out and they take this man that is possessed and they begin to lay their hands on him. And they begin to wrestle and fight with him. And they begin to try to bring him under subjection. But you see, there's some things that you're going to face in your life, and you're facing them even right now, that you will never be able to handle because they're bigger than you are. Oh, help me preach. Amen. I said they are bigger than you are. There's been a lot of times I faced things that was far bigger than my intelligence, far bigger than my ability. Amen. But I knew a God that I was in touch with, that I could get on my knees and begin to pray. And I'd begin to feel the Holy Ghost as He'd begin to speak. And He'd begin to give me divine direction. And I've watched Him, amen, do miracles. Come on here now. Amen. But what about when you reach that place where you're so far from home? Amen. You know the prodigal son's brother, amen, was in a very bad position. For he was in the house, but he was lost. He was in the house. Amen. But he was not where he needed to be. He was in the house, but he did not enjoy the blessings of the house. He was in the house. Therefore he said, you never had a fatted calf for me. You never made merry for me. And he said, all that I have is thine. Amen. It's always been in the stall. It's always been available to you. That's where you're at, friend. These things are for you. They're for you. They've always been for you. Oh, God. Holy Ghost, would you settle down in this building? Amen. But you see, they go out and they lay hands on a situation and they can do nothing with it. And as the seven sons of Sceva, they find themselves leaving wounded and hurt and reproached. But all of a sudden, when Jesus steps on the shore, you know the only reason Jesus came to that city. We don't read where He done anything else. In fact, history says that that man later on was a missionary to that same town. Started a church there. When the apostles went to establish a church, they got there and they already had the doors open. And there was a man who went from a maniac to a missionary standing there saying, come on in. Amen. But you see, thing about him is that they could do nothing with him. But when Jesus come on that shore, He come for one reason, and He came to solve their problem. He come to help them that could not help themselves. Hey man, you say, Brother Steve Holden is preaching. Hey man, it's an offense. It hurts. It harms. It digs me up. It gets where I'm living. It exposes me. I don't like it. Hey man. But I want to tell you, the holiness preacher is the best friend you ever had. Amen. Because he does not come to drive you down. He comes to pick you up. He comes to let you realize how far you are from where you used to be. How far you've drifted from where you used to testify of. And all of a sudden, amen, Jesus steps out on the shore. And when he does, this man comes to where he's at and falls down at his feet. And the Spirit of the man. See, there was two spirits warring there. But the spirit of the man wanted help. Hey, man. The spirit of the man wanted help. But that unclean spirit that had so possessed him, hey, man, said, I adjure thee by God that thy torment me not. He knew that this man could do something about his situation. And all of a sudden, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And this is our text. And there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Jesus forthwith he gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. 2,000 choked in the sea. Ran violently down the cliff. You see, when that spirit got inside those swine, hey man, they begin biting and foaming and tumbling and running, hey man, in just any direction until they ran off a cliff and down into the sea and drowned. Hey man. One brother said the swine drowned in the sea and the devil swam out on the other shore and started preaching on salvation by water baptism. Amen. Well, I don't know. It come from somewhere. Can you say amen? But all of a sudden, amen, from the response, what would it be? Surely now they would run out and say, oh, thank the Lord. He has delivered us of the problem we could not deliver ourselves of. He's done a miracle for us. We're going to go back. We're going to serve Him. We're going to reestablish some things. We're going to recommit some things to Christ. But you know what the response was? When they come and they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed of the devil and had legion sitting in clothed and in His right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him, depart out of our coast. Depart out of our coast. Here is a group of people that generations before stood on the verge of an inheritance that would not be taken away. But here they are years later, their descendants, and now they're standing here saying, depart from us. Leave us alone. You took away our income. You took away our way of living. You took away the things that was precious to us. I want to ask you, how far are you from home today? How far have you drifted? There was a brother in our church that I mentioned a minute ago to tell it. There was a brother in our church that left the church at one time. His heart begin to long for things it shouldn't have. His children, his family. In holiness ever since he got saved. And they left the church and went to another church that taught that you could pretty well live and dress and do anything you wanted to do. And it was legal. Amen. So he went into that church and then I think maybe even to another, drifting around. But he said everywhere he went, he told me later when he come back to church, he said it wasn't like home. Are you hearing me? He said they'd get up and read their texts out of revised Bibles, and I'd cringe on the inside and say, this ain't home. Things would go on in the church, and I knew it wasn't God, and I'd cringe on the inside. This ain't home. And there come a day that he came back home. Amen. That he came to himself, that he arose, that he came back home, that he recommitted and reestablished some things, and God started moving again in his heart and soul. We're going to give you a chance to pray here. I hope I've helped you. I've preached my heart to you today. But you see, the thing about it is this. There's one barometer, there's one thermometer in your soul of where you're at with God. And that is the Spirit of the Lord. One man not long ago said, I don't do anything wrong.
But the question is, but what do you do right? I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything I feel is wrong. But never praying, never in the altars, never worshiping. Help me while I preach just a little while. I know this is homecoming. I know it's a little different, but the Lord spoke to my heart to preach to you. How far are you from home? You may have left this church or other holiness churches. You may have come here this morning to see friends and family. You say, I don't go to this church anymore. But I want to ask you where you're at and where you're going. Is that really home? Does the Holy Ghost really move in your heart? I know this isn't the only church. Thank God. There's a lot of good churches across the country. But oh, that you'd look at your life today as you reminisce and say, does God move on me like He did at one time? Does God move in my soul like He did at one time? Would you stand to your feet this morning? How far are you from home? You may be here this morning and be a backslider. You'd say, Brother Gentry, I'm away from God today. I've drifted far from what I've been taught as a child and what I used to know in my heart. There was a time that I wept in the altar. There was a time that the Lord touched me, that the Holy Ghost moved through me. But today I'm far from the Lord. If I would die today in hell, I'd lift up my eyes. And I don't want to go to hell, Brother Gentry. I want to come back home. Here's the one, as they begin to play, you're here and you're not saved. You're lost. You're undone. I want you to be the first one to come. What about it, young person? Older person? Young married couple? Are you where you need to be with God? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to come to this altar and say, I want the Lord to save me. What about it? Is there one anywhere? You're lost. You're undone. Amen. All right. I want to talk to you about what's on my heart right now. The Lord dealt with my heart early this morning. I feel like you're here today. There's maybe more than one, but you're here today. And you'd say, Brother Steve, I'm not where I used to be with God. And I'm not totally out, but I've let down on some things through the years. I've let down on commitments that I made to God. I've went back on things that I told God in prayer that I'd do and I'd live for Him. And I feel it in my soul. There's a coldness. There's a far away feeling that I'm not at home like I need to be. And I want to rededicate my heart to God. I want to recommit some things to God. I want to pray until I feel God again running up the avenues of my soul. What about it? Is there one right now? You come. I want to rededicate my heart to the Lord. I want to come back home to a place where God would move in my heart. Anywhere in the building, is there one? Quickly. Quickly. Bless this one that's coming. Is there another? Here's an honest heart. Here's another honest heart. They're saying, I want to get a closeness back with God. What about it, sir? What about it, ma'am? Maybe you've left holiness. Now you're going to a worldly church. You say, I know holiness is right. I met a woman a few weeks ago. I was witnessing to her, trying to get her to come to church. I didn't know anything about her background. As I began to talk to her, she told me her husband pastored a church that runs 1,700 people, Pentecostal church. Said that her husband had ran off and left her for another woman. She began to talk to me and about how their ministry went in the charismatic movement and different things. And I began to talk to her about coming to church. And she knew where I was at, where I pastored. She knew what we stood for. And she told me, she said, you know, Brother Gentry, when I was a child, I was raised old-time holiness. And she said, I remember God moving on me, and I remember the power of God. She said, but I went away from it. And she said, now I'm 60-something years old. And she said, I feel like God's telling me I need to go back to where I started as a child. She said, I've seen it all, but God is telling me, go back home. Go back home. Are you here and you've drifted away from the standards of holiness? You want to come and rededicate your heart to God? Is there one? You're doing things that you God dealt with you about and you want to rededicate it to God, come on quickly and join these in the altar. Anywhere in the building, we want you to come. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's come pray with these, if you would. Brothers over here and sisters. Let's seek the Lord. Let's all find us a place to pray and seek God today.